But the Lord saved me. Else you won't have seen me. All right then. Welcome to our first session this afternoon. And we have our sister in the house. All right. Like I said, this conference was birthed primarily as a word of faith conference for the reestablishing of certain truths within the body of Christ. And things evolve, but that remains the foundation and the underlying theme, all right, of the meeting. And so it always gladdens your heart when you find people that belong to that same spiritual tribe there. If you are planning for a meeting, you ask God who are the people that are supposed to speak at the meeting. But you know some people, by what God has taught you about the meeting, that you don't have to ask him again, because he has taught you the principle through which you want to bring people in. And I thank God for our life. She has been an immense blessing to this conference. And I will just say this again, because it's always helpful. It's a learning curve. When I was going to invite her for the meeting, to cut long story short, I arrived at it that she should speak. Well, when I invited her and we put out the flyer, it was Reverend Emiko. He called me. I said, Reverend, how are you? He said, fine. He said, you know, I just picked up my phone because I know what the vision is. Because when I wanted to start the meeting, I went to see him and I explained to him what the vision. And I don't think anybody understood it from, as I was talking, he just said, I know exactly what you want to do. He said, these are the streams that are in the body of Christ. He said, what you want to do is that this particular stream that believes this, you go to God in prayer and you open up the word of God. And God reveals things to you in answer to prayer. And as you are beholding those things in the word, your life transforms to exactly what you are seeing. He said, that's what you want to do. I said, yes, sir. He said, I understand what you said. This was in 2013. He said, let's go with this. So he understood the vision. So he told me when I put out the flyer, he said, you know, 2 weeks ago I picked up the call and I said, let me call Kojo and tell him that he should invite Pastor Nkechene to this meeting. He said, I picked up the phone and I said, let me not interfere. And he dropped the phone. He said, I'm glad. All right. 2 weeks after I saw it. All right. There. Okay. And that's the way things are done, spiritually speaking. You heard what Pastor Stephanie Ike was saying, that once conversations happen in the spirit, those ideas begin to drop in the hearts of people. And the truth about the issue is that no spiritual person will accept to be muscled into something that they don't believe God sent them. They won't accept it. In fact, if you interfere with the process, then they will have to double check whether it is actually of God, and it may delay the timing of that particular thing, even if it is God's will. All right, because then they have to double and triple check. So you see, once you put pressure on the person who is in the spirit realm, the first thing is going to do is they will recoil out of that particular thing to find out whether or not it is God's will for me to do this, or it is not. All right, God's will for me to do this. The best way to go about things, I'm just saying this here, is even if you pick something up in the spirit and you are certain about what you picked it up, go to God in prayer and tell God that, listen, if this thing is supposed to be so, all right, minister to this person also. And it will give you joy to see that something you prayed about privately in a matter of days popped up there. And so you will know how the cycle and the systems, all right, of God actually work. Okay, so that there is no human interference in the thing. I believe this. The Bible doesn't say it clearly, but the Bible also doesn't say that what I'm saying is not so. So it's what I believe. You believe otherwise, when we get to heaven, we'll settle it. All right? What God said to Abraham, was after 400 years, the children of Israel would go out. God was not confused about what he said. 400 meant 400. 390 years after, it entered into the heart of Moses. Moses went about it the way of the flesh, I believe. He spent 40 years in the wilderness. It was on the 430th year that the fulfillment came. When you put the flesh into something, you push the time of its fulfillment. Come to the Pastor Nkechi and Senior Pastor Carpenter's Church.
Hello, family. As I've been called sister, you're my family. How are you doing? Can we just thank God for today? Let's thank him for today. Our hearts are open. Tell him that you're good ground. You're good soil for his word. And his word will germinate and produce fruit in your heart. Thank you, Lord, for the great things you're doing here already. Thank you for the great things you've already done through the week ahead. We receive them all. We walk in them. And our lives are changed. We're very expectant, not just for this meeting, but for the whole conference, because you put this together. Every speaker will speak just as an oracle of you, and we will hear and listen and understand. That's our prayer. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen, amen. Amen. Please sit down, please. Thank you to Pastor Boju for having me. Thank you, Pastor Tui. You don't add 1 year every year, I see you. In fact, you look younger. I don't know what's happening to you, but you're just so beautiful. And your heart is beautiful as well. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Men of God, they get good eye. Have you observed it? It comes with the call. You need to see my husband. Okay, you don't know. I'm a man of God too. A man of God with rest. That's who I am. Amen and amen. Pastor Boj just preached a message now, in case you don't know. That was the first message of this afternoon. Very powerful things he said. And I'm taking the second message. Amen. Soaring on the wings of faith. Soaring on the wings of faith. I love the themes of Wolfbeck because they are bursting the spirit, obviously. And when you get the theme, you may ignore it. But if a preacher, the convener of a conference has bothered to give a theme, it is good to go to God in prayer and ask him what exactly he wants you to say concerning this theme. And I try to do that because the themes of Wolfbeck are like exam. You go either pass some or you go fail some. And I know one fail. So I go to God first to ask him what he wants us to do at Wolfbeck. I found a scripture, because when you hear soaring, the eagle comes to mind. I mean, I could preach a whole series on the eagle, but I don't think that's what I was meant to do. But the eagle comes to mind when you hear soaring, because it's a distinct characteristic of the eagle. Like we must have heard through other speakers, to soar means to fly or rise high in the air, maintain height in the air without flapping the wings or using engine power. It means to increase rapidly above the usual level. So at the end of this conference, you would have increased rapidly above whatever your usual level is. And I was having my shower this morning, and something dropped in my heart. And it was like, look, believers are always looking for miracles, and they miss the miracles going on already around them. Daily, there are miracles going on here, because there are two major miracles that open up the portals to every other miracle you ever want. The very first is the miracle of salvation. That's a miracle. Do you know that's a miracle? So the fact that you're born again, that's really the first major miracle. The other miracle, which is why conferences like this are put together, is the miracle of revelation knowledge. When you get revelation knowledge on a matter, every other miracle is available to you. When you know that you know that you know what God has said about something, when you know that you know that you know that the price has been paid about this thing, it doesn't matter how hard, it doesn't matter how long, it doesn't matter expert opinions on that thing, it's right within your fingertips. But trying to jump and pass the miracle of revelation knowledge and get to the miracle, many times when you do get it, either by word of knowledge or something, you can't keep it. It comes and goes, and your back comes and goes, and you're back every conference looking for it again. So the greatest miracle after salvation to yearn for and to go after, and if you've got the Holy Spirit, you're empowered for that miracle, is the miracle of revelation knowledge. And once you get that, and the thing explodes inside you, a light comes on in that area, there is nothing anyone can withhold from you. Absolutely nothing. Can I get a witness on that? Glory be to God. That was just a thought that came, and I thought to just, you know, mention that, why it's important that we take time and understand what God is saying about certain things, no matter the popular opinion on them. And with that, all miracles are within your reach. Let's look at Isaiah 40:31. And I want to read it from the complete, I believe the CJB is the complete Jewish Bible, if I remember well, CJB. So you may not have that. My regular version is the New King James. But I want to read this from the CJB. It says, but those who hope in Adonai will renew their strength. They will soar aloft as with eagle's wings. They will soar. When they are running, they won't grow weary. When they are walking, they won't get tired. So this scripture directly links what we already know, soaring to the eagle. It says they will soar aloft with eagle's wings. Eagles can fly very high. But the interesting thing about eagles is that when they begin to fly high, they fly 10% of the time and soar 90% of the time. When they do fly and get really high, particularly into the storm, which we won't get into much here, they fly 10% of the time and then begin to soar 90% of the time. So you understand the power of soaring. Now, when they soar, the real thing about soaring is this: they don't use any energy. When they fly, they are flapping. Even in the gym, if you do that after a while, here, fire, head will begin to hurt you. But they're flapping. But when they're soaring, what are they doing? They're gliding. And they're moving. And they're going at speeds and heights that are beyond their usual power and level and capacity. It shows me that soaring uses very little energy, but achieves a lot. Soaring uses very little energy, but achieves a lot. Soaring is making achievements beyond your own normal ability. There is one thing that clearly reminds me of. There is one phenomenon that this is clearly analogous with, and that is called grace. It's called grace. Soaring is a phenomenon of grace. It is your ability to do something without using your own energy. Because your own energy is not enough. The eagle is comparatively a very small bird compared to the heights it can go to. Therefore, it has no business getting that high, talk less of soaring. But it depends on the wind. And the wind carries it. And it's doing all the work. And it's not the eagle anymore. We need to talk a bit about grace. Someone says, oh, well, this is a faith conference. Hello, what's the purpose of your faith? It's to access His grace, Romans 5:2. That's the purpose. Sometimes we really don't understand why we are a word of faith. And we become faith champions with our energy. Faith champions with our strength. Faith champions with the length of our faith confessions. And how many scriptures are quoted in the faith confession. And how diligent we are in the faith confession. Is that the purpose of our faith? There is a vast, unquantifiable resource bank called grace. There is a vast, unquantifiable resource bank called grace. You access it by faith. So as you access it, there is grace manifested in your life. You're taking something, you're changing something about you. And what is grace? Grace is God's ability given to you to do God's assignment for you. Grace is God's supernatural enablement. Grace is, like we all know, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. Somebody else's energy. Somebody else's strength. Let's not do all the work. By the way, I'm from Port Harcourt. So I preach in two languages. It used to flow like that. That's the way they do them. Person don't carry all the work. Yours is just to sow. Just to move. So we must get a revelation of how the grace of God works. And how to tap into grace. That's what really makes you a faith champion. When the faith you are exhibiting is accessing grace. Because there's this whole bank. Somebody needs to draw from it. Everything that is free, already paid for by somebody else's energy. So why are you using your own? And thinking that's what makes you a faith champion. Or makes you a faith Christian. We're of the word of faith breed. Therefore, you're accessing grace. And grace is visible. It's spiritual, but it's tangible. It's seen in your life. Glory be to God. So, you could call this moving or soaring in the currents of grace. That's what it means to soar. To let the currents of grace carry you on the wings of faith. Glory be to God. 2 Corinthians 9:8. I have two sessions in Lagos. Thank you, Pastor Kwadri, for the honor of being in the inaugural of Beck in Abuja. Some people may see it as work. I love it. I love being here. If I don't send me call Lagos at all, I for cry. I love being here. But I love new days. Kukuruku! I love new days. I love new things. Because it tells me that God is present. God is flexible. We don't like change normally. Even with food. My husband had to teach me how to try new things. Okay, I don't carry you to this country. Try the food now. No, just give me chicken and chips. I want the one I know. No, it's not like that. Try this one. I normally don't like new things. But with God, I found out you have to be able to try new things. So for today and tomorrow morning, when I'll be in Lagos, we're going to discuss this. Amen. So I'll start today as my time don't they go. I'll start today. And see, this time matter is very serious to me. I'll start today and finish tomorrow, okay? Okay, where was I? 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able. And I know Bible. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having sufficiency in all things, may have an abundant good work. Now let's personalize it. Calm down, cool down. Now you don't do it. It's only verse 8. How about waiting? Faith champions. Can we? You guys, let's do it again. This time, do it personal, okay? Now, God is able, abound towards in all things, may have an abundance. So, we all love this verse of scripture. And in this verse of scripture, I began to see three dimensions of grace. Three places where we need God's help. We need God's supernatural enablement. We need God's empowerment. Because without it, we can't really do it the way 2 Corinthians 9 is. Do you see what you are reading? All, abound, all sufficiency. Man, that barely describes anybody's life here. Let's be honest. Because you try to achieve the scripture with your own strength. But there are three dimensions of grace I see here. First, God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Take time and go study that word abound. It's like a tsunami. It's like a never-ending supply. So it's not just quantity. The force and vehemence with which it comes at you. Rushing towards you. God is able to unleash the floodgates on you. Unquantifiable resource of his goodness. Just rushing. Despite your abilities, despite your energy, despite your past. God just opens it all up. God is able to make all grace abound towards me. That's the first dimension. If you don't know this grace, the grace of his supply rushing towards you, you will be hustling
and hunting all your life for what is already yours. And sometimes you hustle and hunt with the tools of faith, because you don't know the purpose of your faith. So you are using your faith to hustle and hunt for what is abounding towards you. But you've been trying to get this thing abounding towards you, and you don't know how to get it. So you are using the tools of your faith to work hard, to be flapping. We are meant to soar into what is already given to you. The miracle of revelation knowledge. The second dimension of grace, this one is never talked about, hardly. So not just the grace for supply. Some of us know that. It says so that you, always having all sufficiency. All time. Not just all sufficiency at some times of your life. Always having. Never a day that you don't have it. Because tsunami can kill you. If it's rushing towards you and you know not how to collect it, you're unable to carry it, it will kill you. To wash you away, faith and all. So you're always having all sufficiency in all things. That barely describes anybody here. My pastor used to say, if you are meant to be, and let me go to financial, because it's not only about money, but let's talk about that. If you are meant to be a millionaire in dollars, and you're a millionaire in naira, shut up. Just be quiet. Respect yourself and be quiet. So you have 10 million naira in your account. Is that the size of your vision? You know, they start working and start. You can go higher. So just keep quiet. Always having all sufficiency in all things. You can't do that on your own. There is a grace to receive. You need help to receive. That's the second dimension of grace. And it's limited by the capacity of your mind. Are you following me? If you have teaspoon capacity, out of the whole tsunami, a teaspoon of water you go collect. The problem is not the supply. If you have cup capacity, a teacup of water you go collect. The supply will stay. If na bucket self you get, is bucket of water you carry go. When I taught this in church, I was saying, but me, I'm going with drum. Everybody was shouting, drum. As I got and sat down beside my husband, he turned to me, he said, drum. In a tanker, they take go. I said, oh boy, you don't pass the preacher now. You don't carry a go. He said, if you are talking drum, people are rejoicing. You don't prepare in tankers, self, they go. My point is, there is grace needed to receive what grace is supplying. Like I said, the first dimension We focus on, oh, God is blessing me. God is unleashing it unto me. Where is it? The second dimension of grace to receive, we barely paid attention to it. So believers know how to talk about the supply, but they don't know how to harvest it. The third dimension may have an abundance for every good work. Every good work. Every. All abundance. Every. The dimension of the grace to give. Without this grace, you will become constipated. I heard a preacher recently say that. See, every year you come for conference, you go to chop. If this was a buffet, a physical buffet, this whole stage was filled with jollof rice, chicken, fried rice, pounded yam. What again? They talk about. See, I see her life. Close your eyes and dream and imagine. Pastor Poju's next conference, day one, buffet on the table. Pastor, they're giving you side. As really that was the case. And we all came here and ate. What's the first thing you go home and do? After sleeping. At the next session. When you get home, what's the first thing you do? Talk calm. You go to the toilet. Let me see. If you are functioning as a human being, imagine if from now to the next conference with buffet day, you know, go toilet. You say that food, I go hold up. Because I don't know when the next one is coming. So you go, they walk like this, they go. Go, they move, they go. Go toilet, man, I cannot go. I have to carry that food. It's not how much you eat, it's how much you give out. When you live here, does the family know you came for one week? What does the community know about you going for one week? Some of you are coming from other churches. Does your pastor feel it in your work in church? Even other covenant nation churches all over the place. When you all go back, does the church feel it? That you have eaten a buffet? Or do you just tick off your attendance at work like you came for a social event? There is a grace to dispense. Not just in money, but in deeply spiritual things. Because you came here to draw a buffet of spiritual things. So when you get back, you start distributing. This dimension has been thoroughly abused. Thoroughly, thoroughly abused by the church, by ministers. Give, sow, give, sow. It's not just about giving and sowing. It's about understanding the guaranteed supply, understanding the ability to receive, and receiving the ability to dispense. And the cycle of grace is complete. Today we'll focus on the second one. The grace to receive. For this meeting, focus on the second one. The grace to receive of an abounding supply. Somebody may sit there in a bit of self-righteousness and say, oh, why are we talking about abounding supply as believers? Don't we know that Nigeria is suffering?
bloggers on social media will go out there. Expensive cars were seen rolling into the welfare compound. The pastors were dressed in gold-studded suits. That's the problem with these prosperity preachers. Down there in the Gomu, down the street, people are dying. So as Christians, we should all live here and go and die with them. Then we will show that we are Christians. No. The issue is, we're eating, but we're not dispensing. We're eating, but we're not receiving. You don't understand why. It's not about whether expensive cars or Keke Napep to drop the speech, drop the preacher. If you make everybody happy for Keke Napep to drop everybody, we enter, no problem. It's ministry. But if we have a revelation of the cycle of grace, we understand this simple truth. Jesus said it. Can the blind lead the blind? Mustn't you have something to be able to help those who don't have? Should you prove that you are showing compassion to the blind by becoming blind also? Or do you yearn for sight so you can lead the blind into sight? If you are a saint, what does it mean? You are a called out one. Shouldn't there be a difference between you and the ones who are still in darkness? If the light is upon you, don't you know what happens when light is upon you and light begins to move through the darkness? Darkness flees. You don't have to fight darkness. You don't pray against darkness. You just move as the light into the darkness. That light, they come, where can I go? Everybody just miss. Hey, see light, okay? Try it in your house. Put on the light when it's dark and look for the darkness. Bible says darkness doesn't comprehend it. So you must be the light. You must be different. And by your own strength, you can't be. It's by the enablement of grace. God wants you to be different. God wants you to stand out. But for the purpose of not to show off and be cold and unfeeling, but for the purpose of bringing the light into the darkness. Glory be to God. Let's read some scriptures. I already read Luke 6:39, and he spoke the parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? Isaiah 60:1-3. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Look at verse 2. For, it's as good as saying, therefore, this is the reason why your light has come. This is the reason why revelation knowledge has come in this conference. This is the reason why the glory of God has risen upon you in this meeting and other meetings like this. For, therefore, behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. There are some prayers we should be praying, and some we shouldn't bother praying. So I pray, Jesus, don't come when you are meant to come. I'm never born. You think I'm signing rapture with your burning? But I never marry, Jesus. Wait first, make I marry you. If it's come. Whenever you're supposed to come, you go.
And there are some clear signs that he's coming soon. So if you don't know the why or the therefore, you miss them. Therefore, gross darkness shall cover the earth, and the deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Does that sound like a difference? The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness. You are meant to be bright, different, a shining light for the reason of drawing darkness out. And kings to the brightness of your rising. Look at what Jesus told Paul. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light. Turning them from darkness to light comes by the light of revelation knowledge. To open their eyes. To teach them the truth. And turn them from darkness to light. And from the power of Satan to God. That they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. John 1:5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it no more, if it not. So we need to stretch the capacity of our minds and understand that when you sit here at any meeting like this, what is simply meant to happen is your teaspoon becomes a cup, and your cup becomes a bucket. See, after WAFPEC, I used to carry cup, now I'm carrying bucket. I can believe God for more of his grace. My faith has been built, so I can access more, and therefore I can reach more. That's the cycle. Do you get what I'm saying? That's the cycle. I came to WAFPEC with bucket. I'm living with a drum. I can access more, so I can reach more darkness. And the kingdom is expanding. The purpose of your faith is being fulfilled. Some of you have parents, they're not saved. And there's no effort to get them saved. But you've bought a car for them. They have health insurance. For the brief moment they'll be here on earth. But the main insurance, they don't have it. But you come to WAFPEC. WAFPEC. Forgive me. Amen. Are you getting what I'm saying? Look at Exodus 23, 29 to 30. I haven't even gotten to my main scripture. We will reach there. Well, this background was very important. Exodus 23, 29 to 30. Listen to this, just for you to see the power of building your capacity. I will not drive them out before you in 1 year. Lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. Little by little, I will drive them out from before you until you have increased and you inherit the land. This scripture shocked me.
The land belonged to them. There was no problem with their ability of the supply. But God checked it. He looked at their minds. All he was seeing was teaspoon. He said, if I open up this land for you, if I drive out the enemies, which means God was available to help them, to help them take what he had already given them. He said, but if I do this thing, when I no go fit occupy all the land, some will be desolate. When I never grow rich to cover all I have given you. So leave the enemies for now. Let them be squatting. Focus more on growing yourself. When you have increased, as I don't see, say your teaspoon don't become cup, I will be driving them. It's already yours. But leave, let the enemies not overwhelm you. Just leave them, let them just do the research, the thing saying I didn't get land. Don't waste your time thinking and moaning about the enemies on your land. Focus on yourself. When you have increased, little by little, I'm going to follow your size. As your capacity is growing, I'll open up the portals more. As your faith is growing, the things I can believe God for now, if you mention them to me 10 years ago, I'll slap you. In 2013, when the church was landed suddenly on my laps, when my pastor went to heaven, it's like, which time will I be this again now? I know be pioneer. I know sign for this thing. My job now, so say that they like to follow person. Just leave me my peace. You want to go and die and leave me alone? No. We've not discussed this, pastor. What is this thing now? I spent almost a year complaining. Jesus, I don't plan this thing. He said, I know see the UK land. Can you shut up? I faced the work. The building was there looking at me like a monster. I understood faith and grace very fast too. In fact, you know, die. Then, if the project thing comes to me, if I just say, pastor, I'll start complaining. What do you want again? All you know is how to collect money. Are you asking me how much money is in the bank? Talking rubbish. Because I don't hear amount, my body will be shaking. So they still carry that spirit. Like last year, so they came to me. Pastor, we have one big request for you. I said, what is it? How much? How many zeros you get? Tell me. Pastor, it's more true. I said, no building with a bill. Tell me now. They now said the amount. Is that all? Which currency be that? They said, now our pastor don't change you. I said, send me the paper, we sign it. I call accounts. But that money, day bank, you know, day bank is not my business. I saw the operator down. If my spirit say pay, I tell accountants pay. Thank God, she and us, she and me, we get the same spirit. She go say, yes, pastor. Before she finished writing the check, money go enter. That's what they happened. True, true. She's watching. But the way they came, pastor, they say, big amount is very big. So before we try that for me, one slap. In the spirit, that slap the pepper pass. Say, don't try that thing with me here. Do you know that, Karen? I'll start preaching nonsense. So as you increase, as you draw on this grace to receive, the supply has always been there. The land belonged to them. As you draw on it, it's like they carry the go. You don't do the essence. Focus on the right thing. Forget the darkness, forget the enemies. One day God asked me, have you ever asked yourself, all the years, the cockroaches and the jebusites and the goatites and the ratites were in the promised land. Was there not milk and honey there? I say, yes, sir. So who was drinking it?
The children of Israel, like Pastor said, were wasting time in the flesh. People were drinking their milk and honey. The milk and honey didn't come when the Israelites came. It had been there. The land was how the land was. Somebody's drinking the milk and honey on your land. How long will you leave them there? How long will you leave them there? Fighting against them. Forget them. Face yourself. Grow your capacity. Then draw from the grace available to receive. Once you do that, enemy is under your feet. Go pack load the commons. Once they see you coming, we have heard what you did. Jericho was trembling. They just needed to come. They had heard since. Glory be to God. So the manifestation of what God has in store for you at any appointed time is guided by your capacity. Sometimes when you feel it is late and time has gone, focus more on your capacity. It is possible that before now, it was too much to conceive. But now, you've increased your faith and you are ready. Who is ready? Yeah, you're ready. So don't beat yourself. 5 years ago, I should have done this. That's fine. Face today. It's never late with God. Face today. When you think, I should have married 10 years ago, maybe you were not ready. Who sets the clock? It's not your age. It's not your body. It's the size of your mind. So what you call being late, you may not have focused on the right thing. Maybe you had not healed yourself, and any marriage you enter, it would have been destructive. You needed to drop the load first. And that was for somebody. Matthew 20. Let's finally get to our scripture. Oh boy. Anyhow, we go start. Next week, Jesus will help. Tomorrow, Jesus will help me. I'm publicly bribing for make sure I have time next tomorrow. I'm not even hiding it. My own is open. Matthew 20, 1 to 16. For the kingdom of God is like a landowner who went out early. Listen very well. In the morning, to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now, when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. So they went. Again, he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why have you been standing idle all day? They said to him, because no one hired us, unemployed. And he said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right you will receive. So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. And when those came who were hired, about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they should receive more. And they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner. These men have worked only 1 hour. And you make them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Haba, I'm adding some words myself. Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen. So the landowner hired people. 6 a.m., they went to work. 9 a.m., they went to work. 12 noon, correct, they went to work. 3 p.m., they went to work. The day don't end now. The day ends at 6 p.m. So by 3 p.m., it's only 3 hours left to work. But by 5 p.m., people went to work. Then to add insult to injury, he paid all of them the same amount of money. Is that fair? Is that fair? Talk your heart. Is it fair? What is that? It's very unfair. I can do the math. If one denarius is equals to, let's give an amount, 12,000 naira. 6 a.m. supposed to get 12,000. 9 a.m. supposed to get 9,000. 12 noon supposed to get 6,000. 3 p.m. supposed to get 3,000. And 5 p.m. supposed to get 1. It's a simple something of mathematics. It's payments per hour. For the man paid all of them 12,000. Grace is unmerited favor. Favor is not fair. Soaring is not fair to the other birds. They are bigger than the eagle. They should fly higher. They flap very well. Eagle just can't go. They soar. No energy. They go fast, waiting. Are you special? Yes. It's not my fault. It's Jesus. It's who? No, you're not saying it well. You go stay on with style. It's Jesus. What is that? He looks me in all my imperfection. It's my slightly K leg. He decides saying I'm me. It's not fair. Ex-prostitute. Now you the virgin brother go marry. Brother, whenever I see woman, you wait down. Every turn they can hide. But that brother understands 2 Corinthians 5:17. It's not fair. Be positioned for moves of God in your life that are not going to be fair. This scripture reveals two extreme ways we receive from God. Notice they are extreme. One extreme way is those who believe they have to bear the burden and heat of the day before they can get anything. What they get is directly linked to how hard they work. So you hustle to work in the right companies. Even a company that will take your Sunday morning, you hustle to work there. Suddenly church becomes compromised. Why? You must bear the burden and heat of the day before you can own a car, before you can build a house.
you must bear the burden. You must toil in faith confession. Fast and pray 40 days. No food. Before, those things are okay. I have faith confession. Fasting is not a problem. But so that I will have banner. What's already mine? How many fast are on fast that wants to match what Jesus did for me? How many? That's why you increase it till you die. 90 days, no answer yet. Who told you? Dirty religion that's come to corrupt the gospel. That's one extreme. People that fall into that extreme are people who have good jobs. They want more. Or they are skilled in what they do. Even in church, they're so skilled at your helps ministry, whatever it is, that you forget grace. You forget who put you there in the first place. It's only more important. The church can't do without you. There's nobody. The church cannot do without you. Breaking news. Before you are leaving the gate in annoyance, your seat has been taken. If God is uprooting somebody from somewhere else for to fill that place in your presence, you go see him. It's God's work now. You suddenly feel invaluable and indispensable. One extreme. The 6 a.m. laborers were there. What right did this people have? They didn't cheat them. And such people at this extreme, you know what happens? They suddenly have faith to spend money from around the 25th of the month. Why? Salary, they come. You can't believe God for any project in the middle of the month. Your money don't finish. Your only source of receiving is how hard you work. You all know what I'm talking about. But you are building your faith. So where? Where did they go? Then the other group, the other extreme. There's actually nobody in this story that explains that extreme. Because the real explanation of that extreme will be those who, by 6 p.m., as the man was paying people, he saw them standing. He's paying them. Ah, you are standing there. The day has ended. What are you doing? He said, nobody hired us to all day. Oh yeah, come and collect. One hour vexed them. 0 hour. They will form union. Workers' union. They don't cheat them. So God did, there was so much we could handle. So he ended the parable at 5 p.m. So this was some of you. Okay, at least they work to 1 hour. People at that extreme just believe you must do something to get something. No, sorry, that's the first extreme. You must not do anything. Share that grace. You get up in the morning by 10 a.m., you're tying towel. You're unemployed. You tie your towel. You eat your agigi bread. Then you start pacing the floor. Maraba shakataya baya. Mishikete. Rend the heavens, Lord. Heavens where they don't rend since. Heaven where they don't rend since. Ideopu since. Untie your towel where your dress and go outside. Some man left our church because I told him in front of his wife that if he was serious about getting a job, he won't leave her for years, hustling for all the work. he will go and carry block. There are construction sites everywhere. But he will go and do MTN card and begin to sell card. He will have to do something. Out of respect, he didn't shout in my office. He just went out. And he gathered all the willing members. Can you imagine? Pastor Ketch told me to go and carry block. I have suffered this my life. That's the problem with having a woman as a pastor. They only think as women. Hi! I'm leaving this church. Naga. You are a lazy man. You're not too big to sit and your wife will feed you, but you're too big to carry block. The prophecies of this church will carry me. They don't miss you, Cecil. Is this real gospel? It's the truth. I know Sabila. I don't want to let it. It's the truth. So those who believe the grace of God with just doing nothing. That's another extreme. None of us is there. This parable is going to teach us so many things about the grace to receive from God no matter what. There are 4 points. I will take one today. I will take all 4 in the name of Jesus tomorrow. But wherever we stop, we will stop. You will hear and that time. Lift your hands and worship Him. Worship Him. If you've learned something today, if you've learned something today, open your mouth and just worship Him. Thank Him for the word you've heard. Thank Him for the miracle of revelation knowledge. You have the miracle of salvation. Tell Him you came here for these meetings, for the miracle of revelation knowledge. That you understand that your faith will access the unquantifiable resource that is the grace of God. Please open your mouth, lift up your hands, and give Him praise. Hallelujah.